Mahabharata, Part 1, Chapter 31, Episode 5. Duryodhan decides to die. Duryodhan was devastated. His heart was splitting in two. He had achieved the exact opposite of what he had intended. Instead of humiliating his enemies, he himself had been disgraced. As he made his way back to the city, he moved as if he were unconscious and without will to carry on. He said nothing to anyone. Leaving the Pandavas to worship the sacred fire and the Brahmins, Duryodhan simply hung his head. The Kaurava prince could not stop thinking of his defeat. After he had gone about 10 miles back through the forest, evening fell, and so he ordered his party to stop for the night. They set up camp on a grassy bank of a nearby river. Duryodhan entered his tent, sitting on a bedstead as bright as fire. He looked like an eclipsed moon. Unable to sleep, he remained lost in painful thoughts. Just before sunrise, Karna came to see him. Having fled far from the battlefield when defeated by the Gandharvas, Karna had not witnessed the Kauravas' capture. So when he returned, no one had been able to tell him how his friend had been humiliated. He had therefore assumed that the prince had overpowered the Gandharvas with his own might. Praising Duryodhan's strength and prowess, Karna then said, "O descendant of Kuru, it is indeed fortunate that you are alive and that we have met once again. By good luck, you have defeated the Gandharvas, who do possess great might, as well as the powers of illusion. I myself was forced to flee for my life, my body being mangled by arrows. It is a great wonder indeed that I see you and your brothers and wives here safe after that superhuman battle. What man could have done what you did today?" Karna's words only increased Duryodhan's grief. He replied in a choked voice, "O Radheya, you do not know what has happened, but I am not angry with you. Although you think I overcame the Gandharvas, in fact, my brothers and I were all defeated by them. After a furious battle, we were taken prisoner and carried through the skies." Karna was amazed. Duryodhan related to him how the four Pandavas had come to rescue them on Yudhishthira's order, and how the Gandharva king had revealed to Yudhishthira the Kuru's real purpose in coming to Tritavan. "When I heard Chitrasena speaking in the Pandavas' presence, I felt like entering the earth. Alas! What a great sorrow could be mine. There can be no greater sorrow than to be bound by chains and offered as tribute to Yudhishthira in the sight of all of our women. I have always persecuted those brothers. They are my enemies and will always remain so. Yet it was they who released me from captivity. I am now indebted to them for my life. I would have preferred to die in the battle than to suffer such a fate. Duryodhan began to cry, and Karna tried to console him. After some time, the prince managed to regain his composure. His voice was grave. "Listen, my friend. I will now remain here and fast until death. Let all my brothers and other relatives return to Hastinapur. I have been insulted by my enemy. I can never return to the city. I, who was respected and feared by my enemies, I, who has enhanced the respect of my friends, I have now become a source of joy to my enemies and grief to my friends. If I return to the city, what could I possibly say to my father? And what could I say to Bhishma, Drona, Kripa, Ashwatthama, Vidura, and the other Kuru chiefs?" In his suffering, Duryodhan realized his foolishness. What madness had driven him to come out to this forest? He then recalled the many times Vidura had tried to console him. He had never paid even the slightest regard. Surely, he was now reaping the results of his own stupidity. It was totally unbearable. The only recourse was death. Looking at Karna, his eyes filled with tears, Duryodhan then said, "Men like me, puffed up with vanity and insolence, are never blessed for any length of time, even if they obtain prosperity and knowledge. Alas, I have been wicked. Now I suffer. Leave me here to die. I can no longer continue to live. What man could be rescued by his enemies and then drag on in his miserable existence? Proud as I am, the enemy has laughed at me, finding me deprived of my prowess." Duryodhan asked Karna to bring Dushasan to him. When the prince arrived, Duryodhan said, "O descendant of Bharat, hear my words. I order you to be installed in my place as the ruler of the earth. Now become the refuge of your friends and relatives, and become the terror of your enemies. Always bestow charity upon the Brahmins, and duly cherish your gurus. Just as Lord Vishnu protects the celestials, so you should protect your dependents." Duryodhan clasped his brother Dushasan's shoulders. "Go, my dear brother, rule this wide earth, for now I shall end my life at this very spot." Dushasan was grief-stricken. He lowered his face and said, "Oh, brother, please give up your determination to die. It can never be so. Do not accept such a path. How can I become king in your place? The earth may split, the heavens may fall, and the sun may lose its heat, but I can never rule the earth without you." crying out, "Relent! Relent! Relent!" again and again. Dushasan fell at his brother's feet. "You alone shall be the king for 100 years, and I shall be your servant." Then Karna spoke. "O heroes, what will all this achieve? Weeping does not drive away grief. Summon your patience. Do not grieve, and thus give further joy to your enemies." Resting his hand on Duryodhan's shoulder, Karna continued. "The Pandavas only did their duty when they rescued you, for it is always the duty of subjects to do what is good for their king. Under your protection, the Pandavas happily reside in your dominion. They are dependent upon you, O King Duryodhan. It is not otherwise. Do not indulge in sorrow like an ordinary man. But Duryodhan, we are all suffering to hear you speak of dying. Be blessed. Rise up, return to your city, and console your relatives." Karna tried his best to convince his friend to change his mind. He pointed out that although he had subjugated and even enslaved the Pandavas, they had not resolved to die. It was not so wonderful that they had rescued him. There were many instances where a mighty king had somehow been overpowered by his enemies and then rescued by his troops. The fortunes of war were unpredictable. Sometimes one gained victory, and at other times defeated. A warrior had to learn how to tolerate the reverses of one's life. That is, if he wanted to ultimately gain success. Karna, who was covered in wounds from the battle, laughed as he continued speaking. "O king, rise up. Do not become the butt of jokes for other kings, dying like this. Go forth and earn everlasting fame. Put this setback behind you. Victory will surely attend you." Although he was repeatedly beseeched by both Dushasan and Karna, Duryodhan still would not rise up. He had decided to die. Then Shakuni entered the tent and overheard Karna and Dushasan's attempts to encourage Duryodhan. Seeing Duryodhan's resolution, and knowing that he was incapable of tolerating any insult, Shakuni then said, "O descendant of Kuru, you have heard Karna's speech. O descendant of Kuru, you have heard Karna's speech. And it is full of wisdom. Why then are you foolishly throwing away the wealth which I won for you? This is childish and unnecessary. It seems you have never waited upon your elders or learned self-control. As an unfired earthen pot leaks when it is filled with water, so one without self-control is lost when grief or joy arises. There is no occasion for grief. The Pandavas have helped you. Now you should not indulge in grief. Instead, you should reward them. Shakuni had always recognized that the Pandavas were superior in strength. Thus, he had advised Duryodhan to defeat them at dice rather than to face them in battle. Shakuni also recognized that the five heroes were devoted to virtue and truth. Thus, they posed no threat to the Kauravas at all. Whatever enmity and antagonism there was between the two families came only from the side of the Kauravas. But it seemed as if there was no way to overcome the Pandavas. Perhaps it would be better to accept that fact with good grace rather than to be annihilated in some final confrontation. Thinking like this, Shakuni continued to advise Duryodhan. O king, your behavior makes no sense. You owe it to the Pandavas to repay them for their favor. Do not undermine what they have done for you with your lamentation. Rather, go to them with a cheerful heart and return their kingdom. You will thereby win both virtue and renown. Establish brotherly relations with the Pandavas, and then you will be happy. Shakuni thought that now would be an opportunity for Duryodhan to display his nobility. By going to the Pandavas and offering them their kingdom in return for being saved, he would reverse the situation. Instead of appearing foolish, he would appear generous and upright. The Pandavas would also appear the recipients of his mercy. Duryodhan bent down and lifted the weeping Dushasan. After hearing Karna and Shakuni speak, Duryodhan was overwhelmed with shame. He was completely overtook with despair. I have nothing more to do with virtue, friendship, wealth, renown, sovereignty, or enjoyment. Do not oppose me. Leave me, all of you. I am resolved to abandon my life. Go back to the city of Hastinapur, and on my behalf, worship my gurus with respect. Then Karna spoke. O King of Kings, how can we leave you here? Your way is our way. We are all united in happiness and distress. Give up this resolve, or we too shall die. Still, Duryodhan did not waver in his determination. He then spread kusha grass on the ground, took off his royal garments, put on rags, purified himself by touching water, and sat down in a yoga posture. With a desire to attain heaven, he began to observe the Praya vow, fasting until death. He then stopped speaking and, ceasing all other external activities, closed his eyes half. Soon, he was meditating. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.